help them to see what they truly need from it, which is bigger than just their physical needs. So there are also the seven I am statements, right? Where are we at? Okay, so seven signs. Let's just talk about those real quick. We'll get into each of these, I'm sure, once we go through the rest, but here they are listed out for you. We have him turning water into wine, healing the official son, healing of the lame man, feeding the multitude, Jesus walking on water, healing the blind man, and then raising Lazarus. Okay? And then we have his seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So these are just some of the themes that John talked about. One key one here is Jesus' identity, right? Jesus is fully man, yet fully God at the same time. This is the miraculous mystery of also the Trinity, because he outwardly proclaims his deity in chapter 1, which we're going to get into. The first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he also does show an interesting side to Jesus, and we talked about it even in the past sermons this past couple weeks. He shows his human side. Like when he was at the well, the woman, he went there because he was thirsty, right? Or he became flesh, right? He gets tired. He wept when Lazarus passed away, right? He washes feet. There's a very human nature to him, and he goes out of his way to show that in this gospel. Believing in Jesus is a huge theme here. Believe, I got this from some commentary. I did count this out, okay. Believe is used 11 times in Matthew, 14 times in Mark, 9 times in Luke, and 98 times in John. So you can see that John's real emphasis here was believing, right? Faith was not mentioned in John. John uses some other unique vocabulary words. There's life mentioned a lot, truth, witness, light, darkness, and being sent is another one. So, first question is, why do you think John placed so much emphasis on the use of the word believe, or believing in Jesus? Why do you think he went out of his way to emphasize that point to his readers? You can discuss it with the person next to you, and we'll give you guys a minute, because we have no time. Okay, that's a minute. All right. Anybody have an answer they can think of? Anyone want to share their answer? I guess the question really is, what do you think it means to believe in Jesus? Right? I mean, that's something we should define. Yes.
Well, I was thinking, like, you know how you said John was written a lot later, right, than the other Gospels? So maybe, like, he saw that that was an issue for people, that they weren't believing in who Jesus said he was, which is why he then wrote a Gospel that showed a lot of signs to say, like, this happened,
yeah.
He is who he says he is, and you guys need to believe it.
Oops. Right. Yeah. I think that is definitely a good point. I think that he saw a need to reaffirm who Jesus is to everyone, and to, beyond just that, beyond just saying who he was, he wanted people to step out and take that step of faith in belief and believing and putting their trust and faith in him. So I'll just give you an example, and I know many of us here know this, but I one thing I've learned is I should never, in speaking to even my workplace, when I talk to people, I don't assume people's knowledge level to be at a certain rate, because that's not helpful. So there may be people who this is new to, and I'm not going to knock this or put anyone down for that, but I know there are very mature Christians in here, and sorry, you're just going to have to hear this, okay? Believing is not just head knowledge, right? I think we all know that, but that is the point I think John was trying to make, is that when you hear the word believe, it's not a noun, it's a verb, it's an action word. There's usually a preposition that comes after the word believe. There's believe in, there's believe upon, there's believe into. There is something that comes with believe. Example would be, we have chairs here. You believe this chair can hold you up, right? This is a very common example people use. You believe this chair can hold you up, right? I believe this chair can hold me up. But just saying that doesn't mean anything. It's all head knowledge. Unless I do something about that belief by sitting in that chair, by sitting on it, by relying on Jesus, by resting in Jesus, by believing in him, by depending on Jesus, then belief means nothing. It is all just words. It is all head knowledge. And we want to move beyond that. We want to move into a level of belief where we put our faith into action. And I believe that John put a lot of emphasis on that so that people could move beyond just their words of their mouth and into faith that is apparent in their life. I think at this point I want to try and show a video. I'm just trying different things because I don't know how this class is going to go, so I apologize. I don't know the timing of things. We're just going to do this. Dr. Tony Evans, wait, where's the video? Okay, here we go.
Got a guest preacher.
Yeah, he's our guest preacher. So you're going to hear this quick video from him on John. All right, so I'm going to read the passage for us now. We're going to do verses 1 to 34. I'll try to get through this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I have said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And this is the testimony of John, who the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you a prophet?' He answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. Who do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Then the next day Jesus came toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. It's a lot to get through today. So let's go to verse 1. This is a critical, critical verse. This is a doctrinal, dense, one of the pillars of our faith is in this, contained in this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As we saw in the video, this word in the Greek is logos, which in the Greek idea, logos was this impersonal thought or idea of I read one commentary saying compared to how we say Mother Nature, it's just this mind of controlling the universe, but it's very impersonal. So John uses logos to sort of address that. People understand logos, but he says to them that logos is not impersonal. Logos is Jesus. Jesus is human yet God. So they can put a face to who logos is. The Jews might have interpreted differently, right? We see a lot of in the Old Testament, the Word of God being spoken, right? And so they may have seen him as, in that sense, the messenger of God or the Word of God. So we see that we never fully explained this, but we can see very clearly that the Word is separate from God because he was with God, yet the Word was God, right? This is the mystery of the Trinity. We'll never fully understand with our current minds, right? But this is what we believe now.
I think can I add just a quick comment? I think there's always a lot of confusion when people have, when we don't know what you introduced John to, what John was doing throughout his letter to help people to believe. A lot of people have kind of, without understanding that, have assumed the word just means scripture. You know, so the scripture is God. And that's created a lot of confusion for people. Even the Jewish interpretation, when they used a word, the Word of God, like you see throughout the Psalms, you see the Word of God not necessarily referring to scripture always, but even someone who's able to something that's able, like a force that's able to affect the will of God. Right? So it's not even always referring to what we understand as the scripture. The scripture is really important. The scripture is the word. You know, is God, was with God, and the scripture is God. So I think, that's a good, very good clarification.
So the very first few verses, we see a callback to the very first book in the Bible, right? In the beginning. John differs in the other Gospels in that Jesus' birth was never discussed, but he goes farther back because Jesus' beginning didn't begin when he was born. He goes beyond that into the, before all that happened, in the very beginning, Jesus was there already. This is the very, further back than we can even imagine. This disproves any thought or idea of Jesus being created. Jehovah's Witness sometimes twists this verse, actually John 1:1, to say that Jesus was a God. Jesus was created. He was actually one of the angels created by God. So don't fall into that trap. If they show you their Bible, it's actually an incorrect translation. Jesus was not a created being. He was and is God. We saw mentioned in these first few verses mentioning of life, light, and darkness. These are very common also in the book of Genesis. We see how Jesus spoke into the darkness and he created day and night and light and all that in those first chapter. And then there's a very important, I think, key verse, at least it spoke to me a lot, is the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So let's spend a first discussion question today will be, have you ever considered your sin darkness? And what ways does sin obscure your spiritual sight or clarity? You can pick one of these three. You could also discuss, think of a time when you felt like you were in darkness. How did you respond? How did this passage speak to you now? or if you don't want to talk about yourself, think of a time you may have seen God's power overcome darkness in someone else's life and share that with somebody. All right, let's spend a couple minutes talking about this one with your neighbors. Does anybody have something they want to share? You want a brave soul out there? Think of it as an opportunity to encourage your brothers and sisters if you have something that I'm sure all of us have. God has worked in our lives. His light has shone into the darkness that has overcome some feeling of that feeling of overcoming in our lives, but He has overcome that darkness, right? I think this verse, when I read it, I had to stop and meditate on it. It has so much power in it. It proclaims how Jesus conquered evil, sin, death, everything for us. The darkness has not overcome it. There's nothing that can overtake what Jesus has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
I'll share something. This is of someone else that I saw. I've shared this before, so sorry if you heard this already, but there was one time I saw a guy who I'm a doctor, so I saw a patient, and he had this demeanor about him where I could tell immediately something was wrong. He was my last patient before lunch too, so I was kind of like antsy and wanting to get going, try to get out in the 20 minutes that I was given, right? Otherwise I won't get to eat. But anyways, I could tell something was wrong. We spent some time talking and he opened up a lot to me, and he said some really scary things. He said to me, "Doc, I don't know if you might see me next time," because he was suffering from severe depression. He had many chronic health problems that were just bogging him down, and things were just, it was just, you know, when you get that feeling when you're down and you just keep, how can things get worse? And yet they did for this guy. So he was at that point in his life where he was considering just quitting and ending everything. He had nothing to live for. And in that moment, I heard and I knew that God speaking to me that I need to talk to him about Jesus. I need to talk to him. I need to ask him about that. And so I got an opportunity to find out that he had been to church. His daughter was a churchgoer. So he had already that seed planted, if you will. And that really made it easier for me to kind of go into that for him. To accelerate that, basically, we prayed. I encouraged him. I helped him with a little bit, you know, the medical stuff. But I think he came more for the spiritual needs that day. Just like you saw, like in Jesus, right? People came to him for physical things, but he gave them more than what they really needed, right? So I prayed with him, and the next time I saw him, I hadn't heard from him for weeks, but the next time I saw him, I walked in the room, everything was 180 degree change difference. You could tell something had changed differently. When I saw his name on the list, I was having a feeling, a little bit of dread, like, oh no, am I going to have lunch today? What's going to happen today? I don't know. Because, you know, it took way longer than the 20 minutes I was given with this guy. But I had to make sure, you know, that he wasn't going to do anything to hurt himself. After the prayer and all that, he agreed at that time, like, he wasn't, you know, he was not going to. And actually, he was encouraged. And he said, I encouraged him to go back to church and to talk to his daughter. Because his daughter didn't even know what he was suffering through. So next time I walked in the room, he was entirely changed. His face lit up. He was smiling. He was beaming. He had this light in him that was shining. It was so powerful for me to see that. And I was grateful God allowed me to even witness the power he displayed through prayer in this gentleman. He shared with me that he listened to my suggestion, that he went to church. He started going back, he talked to his daughter. At the church, people met with him and prayed with him, and that really helped and changed him. Nothing really changed about his chronic health, to be honest with you. A little bit did, but he has chronic conditions that are not probably going to change. He has kidney failure. That's, you know, he goes to dialysis. Those things didn't change. His physical state was about the same, but it was the power of knowing Jesus and the Jesus working through him that changed everything about him. Amen. And spiritually, it was like he was brought out of the death, that dead into life. Amen. And so I thought of that, sharing with that because of this passage and just the imagery of how the darkness cannot win over the light that Jesus shows, right? So I'm going to end because I think that's a good part to end. I still have some more to go with. I think I'll just continue next week and we'll get through the rest of that passage. Oh, is that okay? All right. I'll pray and close us in prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for, again, this class, Lord, this class of we are all believers here, Lord. We are all the same. We're all sheep, Lord, and you are the good shepherd, Lord. And I'm just so thankful that today, Lord, I was able to speak for you, Lord. I pray that I was able to convey some words of encouragement, Lord, that people were able to hear the message that you wanted them to hear, Lord. I pray for the next coming few weeks, Lord, as we continue to gather together as a class, that we all will grow together and in faith and in love and in trust in you, Lord. And I pray for Frank as well, Lord, as my co-teacher, Lord, that as he prepares for him as well, Lord, that you would just speak through him. Yes. We're just so grateful again for your word and for your sacrifice, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.